Welcome to a special edition of All Sides with Ann Fisher. Today we are remembering September 11th, 2001. We want to hear your stories from 10 years ago. Where were you when the planes struck the World Trade Center, and what are you thinking as the 10th anniversary approaches this Sunday? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email your story to allsides@wosu.org. But first, 10 years ago, in the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks, there was a lot of sadness, confusion, anger, and a sense of patriotism. Let's listen back to some WOSU listeners. These are callers to Open Line with Fred Anderle, reacting to the terrorist attacks in the days following 9/11.
They targeted innocent people intentionally to make a point. And I just think that unless we can find exactly who did it and punish them, and if we incorporate other innocent people, two wrongs don't make a right.
We need to remember that you can beat people into submission, but you can't fight your way to true peace. We can only love our way to true peace. And during this time, I hope people are able to remember that.
We have to show these people that we can't take this nonsense anymore. Is it we have to hit them and hit them hard?
Hey, I just want to let you know, I'm probably not as smart as all your other callers that call in, but I am a small business owner, and every day since this happened, I've been hanging my flag out front of our business. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm sick of all of them calling in and doing all that babbling about this, that, and the other. I say an eye for an eye and a tooth for the tooth.
Muslim Americans, you know, who a lot of folks seem to be expressing anger at now, are Americans, and this is an attack on America. This is an attempt to divide us from ourselves, and I think one of the most important things we can do is understand that, you know, this isn't about dividing America. This is about bringing us together.
I'm looking forward to a time when there's no us and them. There's just us. There's one world. It's not ruled by corporations, but by people who care about people. Under the present circumstances, there isn't any right response. If we don't do anything, then we'll be weak and somebody else will be strong. There's no right way until we have this world that won't exist in my lifetime.
Those were the voices of some WOSU listeners reacting to the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001. Those comments were recorded in the days following 9/11 during several open forums. Today, we want to hear your stories. Listeners, where were you on September 11th, 2001? And what do you think about that, looking back on that date 10 years later? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can go to our All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, and you can tweet at Ann Fisher WOSU. What are you thinking about now, 10 years later? Maybe you want to share your story about where you were 10 years ago this Sunday. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. As you call or email, maybe you want to know about a little bit about Aaron Green. He's our screener, and he told us what he was doing that day. He wrote, "I was in Mr. Shapiro's sixth grade science class at Galloway Ridge Intermediate School. I remember the principal came on over the intercom and said that something terrible but very historical had just happened in New York City and asked for all of the teachers to turn on the TVs. When Mr. Shapiro turned on the TV, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was like a scene from a movie, and as a sixth grader who thought the United States was invincible, I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that it was real. We watched live as a second plane crashed into the World Trade Center, and some kids started to cry. I remember the horror and shock and the voice of the news anchor as he tried to describe what had just happened. I don't remember anyone in the room talking. Aside from the few whimpers, all was eerily quiet for a sixth grade science class. It's something I'll never forget." Give us a call. Share your memory. Think about Aaron Green. He's the one answering the phone right now. We have other stories from our staff at All Sides, and I'll share those with you across the next hour as we look back 10 years. It's a benchmark, 10 years. There's nothing particularly magic about it. It's our human nature to want to organize things in terms of time And for some people, time matters, and for some people, time doesn't matter. They feel exactly the same way as they did 10 years ago when the World Trade Center was hit. Maybe they're even more angry. Maybe they're sadder. I don't think anyone's happier about it. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Amy in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. I just wanted to call and share, as somebody who has not lived here in Columbus for long, I was actually living in Coral Springs, Florida, South Florida area, during September 11th. And I just remember feeling, I was in high school at the time, sitting in a classroom and my teacher turning on the television and having so many friends in the classroom actually have family members, friends of family working in the towers, because South Florida is a huge area for transplanted New Yorkers. And so I just remember thinking how amazing it was to be affected by something that you're so geographically far away from, but so emotionally close to.
You were still a child when you look back 10 years later. Do you feel emotionally any differently? Can you still remember how that felt?
I do. I mean, I remember I was a sophomore in high school, and so that was actually the year that we took U.S. government. I was taking AP U.S. government, and I just remember how the discussions in that class changed completely after that day. Before that, we really had kind of just focused on the textbook stuff, and after that day, it was much more, the class was much more engaged, and we really kind of had to think about things in a whole different light. You know, it kind of forced us to grow up and not think quite so altruistically, I guess.
Thanks for your call, Amy. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. We welcome your emails. If you can, keep your emails to a readable length so we can get it on the air, because we really want to share those. I know not everybody likes to give us a call. So where in the world were you on September 11th, 2001, 10 years ago this Sunday? Give us a call and share your story, 614-292-8513. And Eugene from Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Tell us where you were.
I was in Ghana, West Africa. I'm a Ghanaian. So I remember very well my stepmother calling me to come and watch what was happening. I just sat with her by the TV asking myself why. I didn't know anybody from America, but I couldn't help but wonder why the death of so many innocent people. And I just remember tears streaming down the side of my face. Up to today, I still don't understand why it happened. That memory stayed with me, and I don't think it will ever go away. It still stays with me after today. I get emotional just thinking about it, because it was just a traumatic event that happened.
What was your sense about how other people were feeling in Ghana at the time?
Same thing, because, again, when something of that magnitude happens, you can't help but wonder, what if it was me? You know, what if it was in Ghana? What if it was in my back street? Why? Sometimes it's easy to explain if you understand why it happened. If there's war and people are dying, then you can say, oh, well, it's because of the war. But when these things just happen out of the blue, innocent people, you know, a building just collapsing, and then you see people running in all directions, dust streaming in all directions, and people jumping off you know, building, knowing very well that, you know, the sudden fate for them is just death. There's nothing else. You're jumping from the 20th, 50th floor, nothing else can happen but death. But you still do it because you have no hope. And I think, above all, that was the most interesting piece of it, because there's no hope. There was no hope. And again, I just thinking about it, mm-hmm. No matter where you were in Ghana, the feeling was the same. This is uncalled for. It's the worst thing that can ever happen to anybody, and why did it happen?
Okay, Eugene, thanks so much for calling us.
You're welcome.
614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Dale in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. My perspective has been a little different. I
before 9/11 came out of a, as a flood victim in Kentucky and moved to West Virginia. Got employment, you know, kind of a regular job, but we live in the tent city, and I live in a place in Cooper's Rock in West Virginia, elevation about maybe 3,000, you know, elevation feet. And I heard the first news about 11:30 from NPR, and there was a little place I could only receive reception. And for about 10 minutes, I heard that there was some kind of incident happened. It was an NPR, the old announcer back, the national announcer back then. And then the only other person I could relate to was the individual who was running the camp, who was, you know, obviously a state park. Years later, I never did get involved with 9/11. I saw one picture of it over the years and then segue into a Nicolas Cage movie. Subsequently, I go see it to kind of see what it actually happened, because I was real isolated back then. I live a lifestyle of whitewater canoeist, very extreme kind of lifestyle. And I couldn't spend 30 minutes into the theater until I threw up and had to leave. So I've really never had an experience with the visual aspect other than what I've heard on the radio all these years.
Well,
and
they,
I'm 56 years old.
Thanks for calling, Dale.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Beth in Marysville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi, Beth.
Hi. I was driving to work in Hilliard, Ohio, when I heard on the radio, listening to NPR, the first plane hit. And then by the time I got to work, the TV was rolling, and then we watched as the second plane came in. I was a young mom. I had a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old that were at the babysitter that day. And I stared at this TV, and, you know, what came over me was, why am I at work? Who cares? This nothing matters anymore. Like, my whole life is kind of shattered. Even as I watched all these thousands of people's lives be shattered, mine was too. And I thought, I'm out of here. I got to go home. I got to be with my kids. And I think it's really shaped us as a nation of, and maybe if we could say one good thing has come of it is family closeness maybe has increased. But about a month and a half later, I went to New York City. I remember thinking, I am on this airplane. I am not afraid. I am not afraid. I'm going to New York.
But
I'm here, and I'm, you know, it was very sad to see it. Walked by a shoe store with just empty shoes covered in that dust.
Mm-hmm.
And but I am army guards everywhere swarming that airport, and I felt very defiant. I wanted to be. I was not afraid.
Well, thank you for calling us today, Beth. Those are some folks. If you're listening to folks right now, we're talking about where they were on September 11th, 2001, and how they feel about it 10 years later. We welcome your calls as well. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Be patient with our screener. He's doing the best he can to get to your calls. And when we return, we'll get to more of those calls, and we'll hear some more from 10 years ago. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Be sure to join 89.7 NPR News this Sunday to commemorate the 10th anniversary of 9/11. NPR will provide rigorous reporting all day on everything from national security to politics to culture, all while asking the question, how has America changed? Listen from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. for live coverage of the day's events, and then join Neil Conan for a special Talk of the Nation at 2 o'clock. Listen to live special coverage beginning at 8 a.m. on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Foundation. Les Wexner, Mayor Coleman, and the National Endowment for the Arts Chairman will speak on the importance of the arts at 4 p.m. Monday, September 19th at Mershon Auditorium. Registration at columbusfoundation.org.
A chance of rain today, cloudy skies and a high near 75. A chance of rain tonight and a low of 60 degrees. Also a chance of rain for Saturday, a high of 76. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We all love America, most of us anyway. And what does it stand for politically in our values and our friends? It seems to be that we've become, for the last whatever number of years, corrupt. And corrupt may be a word I'm using widely in the idea of corrupt for oil.
It was an act of war by terrorist maniacs. We have a nuclear arsenal. It is time to clean house.
Islam is a peace-loving religion, and there are people in every religion who have done crazy, violent things. Please, please, please don't do guilt by association. We'll only end up with more dead people, and they will win and we will lose.
This is a special edition of All Sides with Ann Fisher. Today we're reflecting on September 11th, 2001, 10 years later. You were just listening to the voices of WOSU callers during Open Line with Fred Anderle, reacting in the days following the terrorist attacks. Today we want to hear your stories. Listeners, where were you on September 11th, 2001? What do you think about looking back on that day 10 years later? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go on the Facebook page, and you can tweet at Ann Fisher, WOSU. Stephen in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi. On September 11th, 2001, I was an attorney at a nonprofit, a little nonprofit that served homeless people in Philadelphia. And I actually had a special project. I was supposed to be serving homeless veterans, most of whom had served in the Vietnam War. So on the day itself, I mean, my mind went blank, and all I could think about was, you know, getting out of the office building where I was. I was downtown Philadelphia, which is positioned between D.C. and New York. So I was scared, and I, you know, got out of downtown with my wife as quickly as I could. But looking back now, I realized, like, what's more chilling to me is to think about how many thousands of soldiers were damaged by the Vietnam War. You know, I on the one hand, I'm a pacifist. I think war is horrible. But, you know, I had an uncle that served in Vietnam, and I honor him. I respect him deeply. He recently passed away, and, you know, I just have only sympathy, you know, for what he went through and how that war abused him. And then to think that I didn't realize on September 11th that I was standing on the brink of a decade of more young men and women being damaged and harmed on an ill-begotten war, and, you know, that has produced very little in the way of safety or anything good in the world, and that, you know, they're coming home with PTSD, and, you know, I've met some of them. I don't serve homeless veterans specifically any longer. I'm still doing public interest law, but it's just deeply sad to know that we did the same thing again and damaged so many of our young citizens who signed up for war in a fit of patriotism, which I honor. You know, I appreciate that they loved our country and that they were doing the best they could to serve our interests. And yet the people higher up and what, you know, the decisions that were made and now how these people come home or are killed and don't come home. It's really sad to think that that's what came out of September 11th.
Thanks for your call, Stephen.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care. Sherry in Canton, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Ann. I live a rural lifestyle in Ohio, and on September 11th, I was home. And I remember family members calling to tell me what happened, so I turned on the TV, and I was so disturbed that my first feeling, I think, was, I needed to feel connected to those people so far away from me, and I had to get outside, and I went outside, and I looked at the sky, kind of like, you know, you would at nighttime to feel connection to somebody looking at the same stars. I was looking at the sky and listening to the silence around me and thinking, you know, the sky will never be empty of planes again in my lifetime, and I felt a real sense of peace come on me, but at the same time, a feeling of depression. depression, that my life would never be the same, and that those folks' lives would never be the same either. But it just felt strange that I needed to get outside.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
Take care. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org, or you can go onto the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page if you want to write a little bit about it, if you don't feel comfortable talking to us on the phone. Abdul from Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was at work in Columbus, and when the airplane hit on the World Trade Center, and the secretary came and walked in to our office and said, well, there was an airplane hit on the World Trade Center. And we looked at each other and said, well, maybe that's an accident. Mm-hmm. And she came back and said, you know, well, we're under attack. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she said, well, the other South Tower or the North Tower was hit again. And that's when I realized, you know, we were under attack. So, and, you know, at this day, you know, and, you know, it's there for me because I've never thought that anything like that ever is going to happen. And, you know, because when you look at the news, you see a suicide bombs or a suitcase bomb has been left someplace. But, you know, you never thought that actually airplane is going to go through the buildings. And it was shocked not only for America, but all over the world. The reaction was everywhere. And that's when, you know, the country came together and start, you know, realizing and this thing was very serious.
It's funny how the difference between how we felt about that first plane hitting the building and then, and it was horrible and a horrible disaster, but it was a completely different feeling when that second plane hit. And if you were watching it.
Yeah, I mean, I you're right, and I agree, and as a caller from Ghana, and saying that it doesn't matter where it happened. You know, I'm originally from Somalia, and whether it happened in Somalia or Ghana or Japan, I mean, innocent people's lives lost. And it's strategy, I mean, and it's unbelievable. And, you know, and I think now it's more safe than before. And because you never know, things that you can never imagine happen. So,
mm-hmm.
But I will say the true heroes were the passengers that took, you know, struggle and took over in Pennsylvania.
In Flight 93?
Flight 93. Mm-hmm. They were the true heroes because they knew that the World Trade's been attacked, the Pentagon has been attacked. So they say, well, let's just end it right here. So they are the true heroes. Because, you know, if they didn't do that, then it's going to be costing a lot more lives.
Right. Yeah. Abdul, thanks for giving us a call.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Lee in Pataskala, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Lee.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Tell us about you.
I was on the 80th floor of Tower 1 when the plane hit. I worked in New York in computers on Wall Street for about 11 plus years, and I like to tell people, I do some speaking for children in schools, I like to tell people that there are positive outcomes out of the event, as horrible as the event was. I personally have used it as a transition point where I started a company where I do art therapy for people grieving by taking small amounts of the cremains of people and putting them in molten glass and actually making memorial tributes and helping people. So not all of the event has been negative for all of us. There's many of us and people that I knew who've turned it into positives.
Well, Lee, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Take care. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Zach in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Zach.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Fine, thank you. You're a sixth grade teacher.
No.
Oh, you were in the sixth grade.
I was the sixth grade student.
I see, yeah.
I vividly remember the principal coming to what was like a modular classroom outside of our school and talking to my history teacher and watching him come back in to the room very much shaken by whatever he had heard. And I remember him coming on the announcement and telling us at first that there had been a plane crash in New York, not even necessarily in New York City, just in New York. And I remember at the time kind of thinking to myself, why would we care that there was a plane crash in New York City, in New York? I mean, that was terrible, but I didn't see why it was worth putting on the announcement. And, you know, progressively through the day, I guess they decided that there wasn't any way that they could hide it from us, and people started to turn on televisions. And so I never actually saw it happen, but we saw the, you know, continuous rerunning footage on the news sitting in the classrooms. I remember a bunch of parents coming and taking their kids out of school.
I was going to say, did they shut school down early that day?
They didn't shut it down, actually. Mm-hmm. They kind of left it up to the parents' discretion. And I remember a solid, like, you know, 40 or 50 students out of the school. Their parents came early and picked them up. And I remember the long car ride back home with my dad in the truck listening on the radio, what was still unfolding.
Thank you, Zach, for calling us. Appreciate it.
Of course.
Take care. It's a good time to read the story from Thomas Bradley. He's one of our interns. He wrote, I attended a middle school in Rockville, Maryland, about a 30-minute subway ride from the Pentagon. Several students at our school had parents who worked in the Pentagon. In an attempt to keep the order in the school, teachers were instructed not to tell students about what was going on and to continue the day as normal. However, one teacher had the news on in a classroom full of eighth graders. 2001 was not a time of instant communication, but beginning with those 20 students, a giant game of telephone ensued and spread to all 600 middle schoolers. It was 11:15 before I heard anything from anyone, and by then I was hearing that the planes were crashing into schools around Washington, D.C. Students were sent home 30 minutes later, and it was not until I got home that I realized really what was going on. That day, the events, my thoughts will never go away. For that hour of not knowing, that feeling was the closest thing I've ever felt to pure fear. Share your story of September 11th, 2001. Where were you? What happened to you at that time? And what do you think about it 10 years later? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. Robert, you're in Columbus. Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was in New York City, lower Manhattan, on that morning. And then I saw, you know, that, you know, I was just down in the bottom, and I was looking up, and all of a sudden I saw the this explosion, and then I was watching it, and then the tower came down, and it was just it was a free fall, and it was like probably 10 seconds, and then when I I did a little research because it was just scaring me, and then I did research maybe 3-4 years after that, and then I do some research, and all of this it was a complete controlled demolition, and I saw all the physics and all of the implosions. And it was just a free fall building, and it was all of these airplane pilots and scientists and mathematicians, and they figured it all out because it was all an inside demolition. Okay. And so I'm not quite sure what people want to understand what's going on.
Okay. Okay. Well, that day when it hit, were you close enough that you needed to run and get away from it?
Well, and I was there, and I saw all of these little tiny explosions, and it all came down.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and after 2 weeks, I saw all of, you know, I was still there, you know, because I had some seminars. And then I was down there and I was looking at it, all of this molten steel after 2 weeks. It was just, you know, two weeks for all this molten steel was just still there in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, in all of this 3 or 4 years later, then they created, you know, all these scientists and all this, they created and they found out all this thermite and it was all an inside job.
Okay. Well, you know what, Robert? We want to talk to people about where they were that day.
Well, I was there.
I know, and we heard your story, and as far as what caused it, we want to move on to other people. There are a lot of people waiting to talk. Okay. Thanks a lot. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Jamie in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Hi. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was living in New Delhi and teaching at the American Embassy School when we were watching TV at night, and then it came on the news. So we were watching at the same time that it was, happening as well. And the principal called not long after to tell us that we didn't have school the next day because they were worried about soft targets, and we didn't have school for about 3 days. But the thing that struck me is I was 5 months pregnant, and we had just moved there like 2 weeks before. And afterwards, every day I would walk early in the morning to this one park, to Nehru Park, and I would go by all these embassies, like in the dark, you know, it was still dark and the moon would be out still, and how peaceful and quiet it looked and being pregnant, and thinking about the contrast between that and then all this like unrest and upset, you know, in the world. So it gave me a very unusual experience of just thinking about my personal life, and the world life was just so different, and wondering what that meant exactly.
Jamie, you're American, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
How did it feel to be away from the United States, away from your home at a time like that?
The thing that's pretty amazing is when you have something that everybody's experienced and you think about the World Trade Center and everybody knows it, it actually makes the world feel really close. And part of it was, you know, that since the phone lines are open, and just my brother lives in New York City, and he was at the point where people couldn't go south anymore, so he was just lucky that he could still go home. And I had a cousin's husband worked at the World Trade Center, and another cousin worked in D.C., so just trying to find out if all of them were safe and not being sure. So that part was, you know, just alarming. But it's very surreal on one hand, and very there's a really heightened sense of being connected to, like, everybody, you know, immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, even people that you haven't even thought of for years, and the emails that went back and forth, and, you know, that kind of thing. But for me, you know, because we weren't immediately, like, since we weren't in the States, we didn't have the reactions. It, like, you're two steps away from an experience. So you're feeling it, but that horror sense and that sense of feeling unsafe didn't quite hit us, you know, I think, as much. But it lasted longer, I think, in some ways, because you were that soft target.
Right.
You know, we live near the American Embassy as well. Right. But then everybody was so friendly and nice and warm and upset, you know, equally as well, no matter which person you were talking to and from what country.
Okay. Jamie, thank you for calling us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Take care.
Thanks.
From the All Sides producer, Linda Taylor, she writes, on 9/11, I was teaching an English as a second language class to foreign students, many of whom were from the Middle East. The class hadn't started, and there was a TV in the lobby, and we watched the planes and the towers in disbelief. All of us, including the Muslim students, were shocked and horrified. We canceled class, and I remember walking out in a daze. Life changed for everyone that day, including the Middle Eastern students, many of whom returned home in the weeks that followed. We're talking about where we were. Where were you on September 11th, 2001? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, if you want to share your story. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This Sunday, an NPR News special coverage of the 10th anniversary of 9/11. I'm Audie Cornish. Join us for memorial services from Ground Zero, the Pentagon, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. We'll also report on how the day is being remembered around the country. That's special coverage from NPR News, the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Be sure to tune in Sunday morning starting at 8 a.m. on 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher, and in 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, we'll talk about American arts and culture and how 9/11 influenced arts and culture in the United States. Join us for that discussion beginning at 11 o'clock.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Foundation. Les Wexner, Mayor Coleman, and the National Endowment for the Arts Chairman will speak on the importance of the arts at 4 p.m. Monday, September 19th at Mershon Auditorium. Registration at columbusfoundation.org.
65 degrees in downtown Columbus. Cloudy skies today, a chance of afternoon rain and a high of 75 degrees. There's also a chance of rain tonight, a low of 60 degrees. That chance of showers and thunderstorms sticks around for Saturday, a high of 76. Clouds Saturday night, a low of 58 degrees. And looking ahead to Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, a high of 75. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We have to be very careful because some of these, you know, what we call terrorists, are probably byproduct of what has happened to them during their growing up years, that they have been filled with enough hate by somebody, you know, whether it's their religious leaders or their political leaders, to take this kind of action.
This is indeed a time for serious introspection and prayer. What has caused people to hate Americans with such ferocity?
The thing that I think most of us need to realize is we don't have to come up with any answers. If we pray and if everybody gets together and pray, regardless of what their faith base is, the answer is going to come. And if we just pray to God for God to enlighten our leaders and for God to enlighten us, He'll show us the way if we can just keep that in mind.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's a special edition, and today we are having an open forum and taking your calls for the 10th anniversary of 9/11. You were just listening to callers during an open forum from 2001. Those were WOSU listeners reacting to the terrorist attacks on September 11th, 2001. And today we want to hear from you. Where were you on September 11th, 2001? What do you think about looking back on that day 10 years later? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. And Rachel from Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
And thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So back then, I was 20 years old, and I was already in the Army, stationed in Savannah, Georgia. My job, I was an radio voice interceptor, and my target language was Arabic. And my unit had actually was already deployed on a training mission, and we were already in the Middle East. I can't really say where, but it was just a training mission. And the night before, we were working swing shifts because of the time difference. So I was actually sound asleep in bed because we got off that mission at 7 in the morning. So I went straight to bed, and I was sound asleep until about 2 in the afternoon when my roommate, you know, busts in and says, like, my parents just called, you know, they left a voicemail, and it said that planes are crashing in the Pentagon and in New York, and it's crazy. And I just rolled over, and I was like, okay, that's nice. It just didn't click, you know, because, you know, still sleepy.
Right.
So, then, you know, well, gosh, I was already up, so we get up and we turn on the radio because we didn't have TV in our room. So we were just listening to the radio, and we were getting, you know, all these stories halfway through. So it still wasn't clear exactly what had happened. So we tried to go out, you know, and get something to eat, and everything was closed. The malls were closed. The town was just dead. I mean, it was a complete ghost town, even in Savannah, Georgia. And we ended up, the one place that seemed to be open was CC's Pizza. And we're like, well, you know, listening to the radio, everything sounds like a bummer. Let's go eat some pizza and watch cartoons. Well, they actually had it on the news, and that was the first time I saw any of the aftermath. And I still hadn't seen the planes actually hit anything yet at that point. But they were showing people, you know, running through the streets, you know, going to clinics, people talking about cornea abrasions and other secondary injuries from people who were just, you know, within the vicinity. And mm-hmm. that's when I stopped eating and I went to the bathroom and cried for about 10 minutes.
Did as in the military, did it make you think about that and what your role in the world is in the American military?
Oh, yeah. So what ended up happening is then the next day is when that was my day off, too. So I was actually living off post. So I was even kind of isolated from my usual environment.
Right.
So when I tried to get back on post, you know, it still didn't click exactly how severe this was. It just seemed still in my mind like it had been a big, you know, accident. And so finally, when I was able to get on post, I had to have somebody drop me off outside of post and walk on because the line was impossibly long to get in. Even high-ranking soldiers weren't able to get, like officers and such, weren't able to get on post until, you know, 1 o'clock if they left at their normal time when they leave home. So people were coming in after lunch, you know, for the first time that day. And that's when I finally, they had the TV on because I was about to do a 24-hour guard shift. So that's when I finally saw the planes crash. And again, I broke down. I started crying. I went to the barracks and, the bathroom again mm-hmm. to cry. And because then we have first sergeants and everything going, yeah, now you guys get to work for your pay. And I just couldn't stand how callous that remark was.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, is that's when I finally realized that they were, Arabs that had done that, Muslims. And there two things what went through my mind was, first, did I miss something the night before? Did I miss a recording? Did I cause this in some very indirect way? I mean, it was just, you're 20 years old.
In other words, had the United States provoked it?
No, actually during my training mission, could I have heard something that I could have tipped them off and known about it before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when they said that, you know, we were already deployed and they were in the States when they planned this attack, I felt much better. But it was about, you know, 2 or 3 days of me kind of sick to my stomach thinking, you know, what if I missed the recording? What if I missed the signal, you know, that went off? And,
ooh,
yeah.
That's a burden, Rachel.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much it. The other thing was, is though, I had a lot of, to learn Arabic, we had a lot of Arab instructors, you know, during my time in the Army, and I instantly was terrified for what could happen to them, you know, that they could, because they had already talked about what had happened to them and their family during just the first Gulf War. So I instantly was worried about, you know, the mosques getting torched and, you know, if they have family with a business, the business getting harassed, or I was just instantly frightened for them.
Okay. Rachel, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Sure, thank you.
Take care. We're going to try to get to as many folks as we can. Arthur,
yes.
In Jeffersonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Arthur.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call, Ms. Fisher.
You're welcome.
I was in Kentucky on I-64 doing a pedal run that I do out of Cressona, Pennsylvania. And I was listening to NPR, and I thought it was a War of the Worlds joke, not real, until I got to see the pilot truck stop raising their fuel prices as it went by twice. And when I stopped at the end of the day and got to see it on the news report, I couldn't believe that they took the towers down. I didn't think that they would ever be able to be taken down after 93 when they tried to take them down.
That's right.
The bomb in the basement.
Yeah.
It was disheartening and worrisome. My children were both in elementary and middle school at the time. And my son now is a sergeant in the Army, and he is in Afghanistan. And my daughter is a cadet at the in the National Guard at the University of Pittsburgh. And I wish that they didn't have to be in this.
Did 9/11 influence their decisions to get into the military?
Absolutely. Also, that my strong belief in our military, mm-hmm. even though I've never served.
Okay. Well, Arthur, thank you for your sacrifices, and thanks to your children for their service.
Thank you.
And also thanks to Rachel for her service. I forgot to tell her that. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. We're trying to get to as many calls as we can. Jerry in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jerry.
Yes. Oh, yay. Hi. Good morning, Ann. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
At the time, during the 911 attacks, I was in a hospital actually getting a stress test done in the sleep study. And as I woke up from my sleep study, I asked the nurse's aide to turn on the television. I just had this eerie feeling what was, you know, something was going on today. And as the TV came on, that's when I actually seen almost at that moment that the second plane had struck. And what beat it in my heart was the fear, and then next was the anger. Who would have the audacity to attack us like this? I was burning. I mean, I was livid. As the nurse seen that also, she turned to me, and we touched. We had to hold hands because, you know, this what brought us together. And I'm thinking back in a moment of tragedy, a lot of people do come together out of this, and I'm reflecting on that back now, even today, you know, how much together we were then, you know, we should still be that way now, you know.
Yeah.
And on remembrance of, you know, the people that lost their lives, and it still burns me up, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, that's a wonderful story, Jerry. Thanks for sharing it.
Okay.
Take care. From my associate producer, Amy Jurevich. She writes, I was a freshman in college in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was sitting in a mass media and communication theory class. There was only one student in the room who had a cell phone. He was getting text messages from a friend with updates on what was going on in New York. Periodically, he would raise his hand to update the class. The teacher did not think it was a big deal and continued with his lecture. Eventually, the students were ignoring the professor and listened only to the student with a cell phone. By this point, the media was reporting that there was a fourth plane not responding to radio communication, and that it was heading toward the Pittsburgh area. All 50 students in my class immediately jumped up and left the room. We arrived outside to find the city of Pittsburgh being evacuated. No one was allowed in any tall building. I was among hundreds of students standing in the middle of campus with nowhere to go. We sat in the grass listening to TV news reports being broadcast over the football stadium speakers. We sat together and listened to reports of a plane crashing in a field in western Pennsylvania. The whole thing still seems surreal. Betty in Lancaster, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
We were in Europe. We were on a river cruise. I cannot remember where we were exactly, but we had come back with the time difference. We had come back from our tour, and somebody said, turn on your TV. So we went to our room, turned on the TV, and we did see the plane crash into the second tower. And the person just before me said surreal. And that is about the way that when you look at it, you can really can't realize or perceive that that's really what's happening. But so there was quite a somber time on the ship. 2 days later, we were in Vienna. It was 11 o'clock. And everything stopped in Vienna. The traffic stopped. People stopped what they were doing. And the church bells rang. And this was in sympathy for the United States. Very, very moving. A few days after that, I'm not quite sure, maybe 3 or 4 days after that, we were in Prague. We were touring Prague, and when we were in Wenceslas Square. Wenceslas Square has a statue of Wenceslas, and with the steps going up to the statue, there were notes, there were letters, there were ribbons, there were flowers, there was money. you just can't believe the outpouring of empathy, the outpouring of sympathy that the Europeans had for the United States. Very, once again, very, very moving, very, very touching. So
Betty,
that was our experience.
Thanks for your call, Betty. I want to get to one more call before we have to end the show, Betty, so thank you so much for that. Laura in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. We just have about a minute left. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I was an eighth grade science teacher on that day, and I was on my planning period, grading papers quietly in my room, and a custodian came by, who's a friend of mine, and said, you should turn on the TV. So I turned it on, and the first plane had already hit. So it was a little bit confusing what was going on.
Yeah.
Because the newscasters seemed to be confused as well. And then as I was watching, the second plane hit, and it was just absolutely stunning, horrifying, strange, just very strange. And I was kind of in shock, I think, probably, and just kind of staring at it. And my students started filing in for the next class, and they were all happy, you know, eighth grade typical students. They didn't know anything was going on. And I did not know what to do. It was just, I felt so small when I saw the plane crash and how small and powerless I was. But I was supposed to be the big teacher the very next moment and take control of the class and conduct business. But these kids were eighth graders, and I, as a parent, thought they needed to know what was going on. So I was filling them in on what I knew, and I was trying to say it in such a way so I wouldn't upset them. But and then about 10 minutes later, when we had quite a discussion going on, that I thought was, you know, a good discussion.
We're running out of time, Laura. Okay. I don't mean to rush you.
Well, somebody told me that we all had to turn the TVs off.
Oh.
I had to go back to teaching my science class, and it was just so bizarre trying to teach about cells.
Yep.
And everyone pretending that nothing had happened. It was just completely confusing for
Laura,
everyone.
Thank you so much for your call. And thanks to everybody for their calls and sharing their stories. And thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.